Welcome to worship. We're so glad you're here today.
Thank you.
thing. She just wanted to let us know if you have a gray Honda. It sounds like it might have been running in the parking lot for a while. She said she thinks there's a clergy sticker on it, so just if anyone's concerned about your car. Some other announcements this morning. There will be no Wednesday night activities or dinner this week. The last Hurting Part performance is today at 3. And a reminder that our charge conference this year is going to be a cluster charge conference with a group of churches. It's going to be next Sunday, November 29th at 2 p.m. It's going to be held at Edge Hill United Methodist. We're about to enter the Advent season, so we have a lot of exciting things happening around here with that. Actually, next week, the 29th at 5:30, is our annual Advent wreath workshop and dinner. All families are invited to attend. There is more information in your bulletin about that. Families are also invited to join the Journey to Bethlehem on December 6th at 12:15. It's right following the 11 o'clock service down in McWhirter Hall. Children and their families will get to experience the Christmas story in a very interactive way. Again, more information in your bulletin, but we would love you to join us for that. We still need people to host our guest at the reconciliation dinner. That is, you're going to contact Lisa Guak if that's something you're available to help with. And finally, December 6th, our chancel choir and orchestra is going to be singing choral music to kick off the Advent Christmas season. So please mark your calendar and bring a friend for that. Today is our day. Today, we're sitting in the presence of royalty.
was baptized by John and anointed by the Holy Spirit.
He is the King of Kings.
He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners.
He is the Lord of Lords.
Through his death and resurrection, he announced the reign of God.
He is the Prince of Peace.
He is Jesus Christ, our great Redeemer.
Let us worship Christ our King.
You may be seated. Even as we offer praise to Christ our King, let us confess the ways in which we have denied him as Lord of our lives. Let us pray. O merciful God, we confess that we have not acknowledged you as the source of our successes, our substance, ourselves. We have been far more ready to complain when things go wrong than to praise when all is well. We have fed our bodies a rich diet while neglecting to feed our souls. Power and wealth have assumed greater importance to us than sensitivity and service. We have allowed religious words and forms to substitute for living encounters with the persons you have called us to love. Forgive us, compassionate Redeemer, and grant us the opportunity to start over again. Keep us from repeating the mistakes of the past or from new evils that could mislead or destroy. In the name of Christ, we offer our earnest prayers for pardon and deliverance. Hear the good news. There is more mercy in God than sin in us. That is good news indeed. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to John. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Kids want to join us? You can bring someone with you if you want. Come on up. I'm going to come down here with you if that's okay. There we go. Hi. How are you guys doing? Good. Today I want to talk about royalty. Do you guys have any favorite kings or queens or princes or princesses? Do you? Snow White? That's a good one. Does anyone else? Do you have a favorite prince or princess or king or queen? Someone you think is royal? Maybe you think your mommy is royal. Or your daddy's the king, or your grandpa or grandma. All right, well, you know sometimes we talk about Jesus being the king, right? But did you know that God says that you are royalty? You knew that? That's good. You should know that. God says that you get to be a prince or a princess or a king or a queen. Because what that means is that God loves you so much. That means you're a precious child of God. And that also means that God has big, big plans for you in the world. Do you believe that? Maybe? Well, he does. Yeah, so get ready for it, okay? Because God wants us to be the kind of royalty that loves God and loves ourselves and takes really good care of everyone else, too. Can you do that? Okay, let's pray. God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that you make us royal, that we are your kings and your queens and your princes and your princesses. Help us to be strong and brave this week. Amen. Okay. Thank you, guys. You can go. Or you can stay here. That too. The more the merrier. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And it's not just in some of us, it's in all of us. As we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Marianne Williamson. I want you to just keep that in the back of your mind, because we're going to come back to it, reference it a couple times throughout the sermon. Today is Christ the King Sunday. Today, we honor Christ's reign on the earth. But what I most want to focus on is our own royalty. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked them. Do you know that you're royal? If not, I hope that by the end of the sermon you will. That's my prayer for us today. In the scripture today, we heard Pilate ask Jesus, so you are a king? And Jesus answers, you say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Notice Jesus doesn't deny his kingship. He's always kind of sneaky like that, isn't he? He doesn't say he's not a king, but rather focuses on something else, his purpose, which he defines as to testify to the truth. I think that in order to understand his answer to this question, we actually need to look back at his baptism. Although it wasn't explicitly referred to as such, many commentators believe that this is where Jesus' reign officially began, his coronation, if you will. In the Gospel of Mark, it says, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. Referring to Jesus as the Son of God is believed to have been royal terminology. But here we already begin to see that Jesus wasn't a king in the sense that we usually think about it. At his baptism, Jesus was commissioned as a servant. And this actually makes a lot of sense, too, because the term Son of God in the Old Testament was used for both purposes, royalty and servanthood. So in that big moment as he was coming up out of the water, Jesus was commissioned as this servant king. You see, the declaration of Christ's reign wasn't just about his royal place, but about his royal purpose. Remember again Jesus' words to Pilate, for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Doesn't it make sense then that he didn't deny his kingship, but rather expanded its meaning to include his purpose? So what does testifying to the truth mean? I think it means showing the world what royalty is really all about, demonstrating what a true kingdom, God's kingdom, is really supposed to look like. The world as we know it right now is full of suffering. We see all too many people in need, lacking food and shelter, lacking freedom and wholeness. Innocent people are sitting in prison and dying at the hands of corrupt governments. Parents are strapping their children to their back and fleeing from their war-torn countries. Bombs are exploding, the world is on fire, and sometimes it just seems like too much, doesn't it? Do you ever just feel powerless over it all? Especially when we talk about God's kingdom being so radically different. In God's kingdom, the prisoners are set free, the wounded are healed, the broken are made whole. In God's kingdom, when my sister suffers, I suffer with her, and when she rejoices, we rejoice together. In God's kingdom, we share so that all may have more than enough, and no one goes to bed hungry. In God's kingdom, we aren't threatened by the success of another, for I know that my brother's success is also my own. In God's kingdom, we are all safe and sound. Now this sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? But it's not. That's the whole point of our faith. The reason we're sitting here today. This is the kingdom that Jesus ushered in at his baptism. This is the kingdom that we were born to create. And we create it by making manifest the glory of God that is within us when we know our identity as children of God. Let's look again at the word spoken to Jesus as he was coming up out of the water. Notice God doesn't say, "Behold, I declare you are the king," but rather, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." See, entrance into God's kingdom isn't based on our status in the world, on our wealth or our power or our family lineage, but rather our identity as God's beloved children. That's it. Plain and simple. Are you a child of God? Answer is yes. Then you are royal. That's the good news for us today. Every single one of us here belongs to that royal family. We all have a place at this table. So my question is, are you living like you belong to this kingdom? Do you truly know your value and your worth as a royal, beloved child of God? I think that all too often we aren't taking our rightful place at this table because we are afraid. Sometimes I think we're afraid that we're not good enough or big enough or powerful enough. But I wonder if sometimes we're afraid of how powerful we actually are. We are afraid to let our light shine. Being fully ourselves in a world that constantly tells us to be someone else makes us very vulnerable and takes a tremendous amount of courage. And sometimes it's just easier to hide, isn't it? What does hiding look like for you? Some of you sitting here feel like you're doing pretty well right now. You might have some money in the bank, nice car, a home. You have jobs in which you hold positions of authority. You have all of the things that the world says makes you powerful. And these can be good things. But they can also be the things that we hide behind. The more we have, the more we feel that we are worth. And it gives us a false sense of security. But this isn't what makes us worthy in the community of God. And stick with me here, because that's actually really good news. That's very liberating, because those things, they're fleeting. They could be gone tomorrow, which means you get to be free from any tight grip of control and from the striving. You are worthy simply because of who you are as a child of God. What makes you powerful is using your gifts to bring about the kingdom of God here on earth. Your royalty, your worth, is not based on what you have, but on who you are and on what you are called to do. This kingdom is for you, and you belong here. But what about those of you sitting here and you're not feeling so good right now? Maybe you're not feeling very worthy. Some of you are broke or broken. Some are battling addiction or other illness. Some are grieving a loss. Maybe you are burdened with depression or feeling very lonely. You might even look on the outside like you have it all together, but inside you're carrying around deep pain. Maybe you hide because you're afraid of what people will do if they find out. Maybe you hide out of shame. Well, I have really good news for you today. You have nothing to be ashamed of. You also belong here. This kingdom is for you too. In fact, I think that Jesus would say this kingdom is especially for you. See, your worth, your value is not based on what you don't have. It's based on who you are. The kingdom isn't waiting for you to have it all together. If that was the case, we'd all be out. You are so worthy just as you are today. This kingdom is for you, and you also belong here. When I was trying to think of an illustration for this sermon, I realized the answer was right in front of me. My 5-month-old daughter. Her name is Elena, and she is 17 pounds of feisty, beautiful perfection. To know Ellie is to love her. I mean, she's a baby. What's not to love, right? Nothing is expected of her except that she will just be fully herself. She was loved from her very beginning. She is loved just because she is Ellie. And the best part is, she knows it. She's not down in that nursery analyzing whether she's good enough, whether she's done enough, or people like her. She's not worried if she cries, we're not going to love her anymore. She's too busy living for any of that. She's too busy just being Ellie. And you know what? The world is better for it. Her presence is her gift to the world. We could all learn something from her. This is what it means to be a beloved child of God. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. You are chosen and you are called. Remember that voice that spoke to Jesus as he was coming up out of the water? Well, God has the same thing to say to you today. You are my beloved. With you, I am well pleased. This is what gives you your royal status, what saves your place at this table. And knowing your value and your worth as a child of God, truly owning your identity, is what makes you powerful. It's what makes you a good servant and a force to be reckoned with in the world. And that's exactly what you are called to be. See, I'm not asking us to stop being passionate. Your playing small does not serve the world. Quite the opposite. God is calling you to be really, really big. God's plans for us are so much bigger than even we can imagine. Don't shrink from your purpose because you don't feel worthy enough or because you're spending your time chasing the wrong things. We have all been put on this earth with a profound purpose. We are all meant to shine as children do. And right now, the world really needs people who are shining. There are people to heal, and there are prisoners to set free. There are precious mouths to feed, and we are the ones to do it. We are called to bring life to a dying world, and I truly believe that in doing so, we will find abundant life for ourselves also. It is time for all of us to take our rightful place at this table in this kingdom. This kingdom belongs to you, and it belongs to me because we belong to each other. And there is a world of people outside those doors who are waiting for us to help them take their rightful place at this table also. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And it's not just in some of us, it's in all of us. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Do you hear that? That's God's voice, gently beckoning you to come out of hiding, to come up out of that water, saying, "You are my beloved child. With you, I am so well pleased." So as we start this new week, let us not go into it lightly. The world is in rough shape. There is a lot of work to be done, and we are the ones to do it. So let today be your coronation. Let's put on our crowns and let's get to work. An important part of our worship together is joining together in affirmations of faith. So if you'll stand, and together we're going to be reading the Affirmation of Faith of the United Church of Canada. You can find it on page 883 in your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Good morning and welcome to West End United Methodist Church. We're so glad that each one of you is here with us this morning. If you are a first-time visitor, a special word of welcome is extended to you. And as Michael reminds us, those of you who come more often, reach out and say hello. And those of you that might be a first-time member, don't be afraid to come and introduce yourself to us as well. We'll have a time of fellowship in Reed Hall at the end of this service. There should still be coffee there, so come and join us and learn about ways that you might be involved in this church. If you look in front of you, you'll notice a gray card in the pew rack. On one side, you can put comments for staff and lay leadership. On the other side, you can put any prayer requests that you might have, and we will lift you in prayer throughout the week. Please take a moment to record your attendance. There's an attendance pad in the center of the pew, and you can pass it down, noting who you're worshiping with and maybe saying hello when you get a chance. We offer our deepest sympathies to two families this morning. The first is Keith, Camilla, Leo, and Alexandria Spadafino. They are mourning the death of Keith's father, Leonard. He went by Len Spadafino, who died November the 11th in Kingsport, Tennessee. Services were held there on November the 14th. We also extend our sympathies to the family of Thomas Crockett Herbert. He died Thursday, November the 19th. Services will be held this Tuesday, November the 24th at 3 p.m. in this sanctuary. Visitation will precede the service beginning at 12:30 p.m. in McWhorter Hall. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear God speak to us as we lift up both our silent and our spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, we come before you acknowledging you as King of our lives and inviting you to reign supreme in our world. So often we are tempted to feel as if you are distant and that the evil forces that seem to rule our world are truly in charge. So teach us, Holy God, to have no king but you, to open our eyes to your transforming love around us. Teach us to build the new Jerusalem. Teach us to establish your reign of love in all our living and doing. Make us citizens indeed of your kingdom that is not of this world. Strengthen us and empower us to be the salt and the light, agents of reconciliation and redemption. You came preaching a kingdom of love. Help us to be the loving light of Christ. You called yourself the Prince of Peace. We pray for those fighting in wars, those who are escaping war, and those with violence all around. You came with a promise that your kingdom would wipe away every tear. We remember all those who experience loneliness, especially during this season, that they will experience peace and comfort. You established a glorious realm of salvation through Jesus Christ. May we share our story of salvation with others. We give ourselves entirely to you. Be our King. May your kingdom come. May your kingdom come in us. May your kingdom come through us. And now we pray together to bring your kingdom to earth in the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare our offering today, let us remember these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Receive God's blessing as you give to bless others.
You may be seated. And I'd like to invite forward those who are going to be joining us this morning. First person I'd like to introduce to you is Beth McCluskey. Beth is an attorney, and she is transferring from her childhood home church, which is Trinity UMC in Gulfport, Mississippi. Next, we have Derek and Jenny Charles, and Derek is a physical therapist. Jenny is also an attorney, and they have a son named Carson, who I think is just about to turn 3 years old, and they are transferring from the Catholic Church. Next, we have Larry Elliott. Larry is retired. Prior to retirement, he worked as the director of rooms at Gaylord Opryland, and he is transferring from the Lutheran Church. And finally, we have Mark Crabtree. Mark is also retired, and prior to retirement, he was the director of engineering at Nashville International Airport, and he has two grown sons, and he is also transferring from the Church of Christ. All right. So for those of you who are joining the United Methodist Church for the first time, these questions are for you. As a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And for all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Will the congregation please stand? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Beth, Jenny, Derek, Carson, Mark, and Larry are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I invite you to greet and welcome these folks after the service. They'll be out these doors to your right. Now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
And now, as you leave, go in confidence, knowing that the most holy royal one calls you beloved. Leave empowered that you have been called to do great things. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the one who sustains us. Amen.